Good morning.
Are you out there? That was kind of weak. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that sounds better. Crystal sends her greetings. Her back is just a lot of pain the past couple of days. We have found the best thing for her to do is just lay low, and then it goes away, and then she gets back to it. So she dearly misses you. She wished she could have been here. So she said, please greet them for me, and do that for me, please, Dan. And I did that. So, it's good to see you all. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Now, I just want to make a comment on the bulletin. It says, prayer of illumination. And you might think, somebody might think, well, that's just to fill space. We really need the Holy Spirit, right? I need the Spirit because I want to handle God's Word correctly. And you need the Spirit because you need to apply the Word correctly to you. So that's in the bulletin, but it's not just a full space. It's something we really need to look to. So let's read God's Word and let's pray for God's help. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Let's pray. Father God, we do need your help. We desperately need your help. It's so easy to sit back and let our minds wander. It's easy to think that the Word is for somebody else rather than ourselves. And so, God, illuminate our minds. Give us understanding. Because we want to be more like Jesus. May you continue to change us and make us more like Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was in the sixth grade, two students during recess decided to challenge one another at arm wrestling. Now, the first student was a girl named Toni. She was tall and slender, and she looked a little on the weak side. The second student was a boy named John. He was tall and muscular. He looked like a football player. Well, Toni and John attached their hands. The match was on. You could see the strain of their faces as their arms went back and forth. And everybody was standing watching who was going to win. And suddenly, John's arm hit the table. And so, Toni, being the nice girl that she was, gave him a second chance. And once again, John's arm hit the table. Now, do I dare confess to you that my male ego got in the way at this point? And I decided to take on Toni. And you guessed it, my arm hit the table. Well, Toni went on that day to beat every boy in the class. And from that point on, absolutely no one, challenged Toni at arm wrestling. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, Paul calls us into a battle. Now, please understand, this battle is not a child's game of arm wrestling. This is a real battle. And the battle can sometimes be intense. Listen to how Paul describes the battle for us in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, notice in verse 12, This battle does not involve guns, cannons, missiles, okay? This is a spiritual battle. Notice Paul says, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Okay? In other words, our ultimate enemy is not the people around us. Our ultimate enemy is Satan and his evil forces. And we need to understand this is a real battle. And since it is a real battle, we need to enter this battle God's way rather than our own. But there's a little word in verse 10 I want you to notice. It's the word finally. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Now, the word finally means much more here than just Paul's coming to the end of his letter. Now, you sometimes hear preachers say finally, and it goes on another 30 minutes, right? But it really connects the end of the letter with the rest of the body. Now, listen carefully. The main theme of Paul's letter to the Ephesians is God's grace. And in chapters 1 through 3, Paul shares with us the theology of God's grace. And then in chapter 4, all the way through chapter 6, verse 9, he shares with us how we are to live in the light of God's grace. But now we come to chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And here Paul reminds us of a very important truth. We live in a fallen world. And since we live in a fallen world, we are in a spiritual battle. Sometimes the battle is within us as we deal with the temptations that Satan throws at us. Sometimes the battle is around us as we deal with the culture around us. And sometimes the battle involves certain things beyond our control, finances, sickness, and such things as that. Now, throughout the Bible, we see God's people have often been involved in battles. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 18, the nation of Israel were involved in a physical battle. And remember, Moses was on top of the hill. And as long as his hands were extended towards heaven, Israel won the battle. Moses was in reality interceding on the mountain for the nation of Israel. And when we're in the battle, it's good to know that there are people interceding for us, right? And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul reminds the young pastor Timothy that he's in a spiritual battle. Remember, Paul said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a spiritual battle. Well, this morning I want to give to you the three requirements for winning the battle. Okay? Three requirements for winning the battle. And then you will know how to win the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you can, by God's grace and power, win the battle. Let's look at three requirements for winning the battle. First, winning the battle requires dependence. Dependence. Now, think for a moment of a newborn baby. Everyone loves to hold a newborn baby. Fathers, do you remember the first time you held that first child in your arm? Most men I know literally cry because it's such an amazing experience. But there's something unique about a newborn baby. A newborn baby is utterly dependent upon the parents, right? Paul wants you to understand, winning the battle requires dependence. When we enter this battle, we must depend upon God's power. For if you depend upon your own power, that's the recipe for disaster, right? Listen to what Paul again tells us in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord. Paul does not say be strong yourself, be strong in the Lord. For this is the bottom line. Our power is what? Limited. But God's power is unlimited. Now, listen carefully. We see God's power in the work of creation. Remember, God simply spoke the word, and creation came into being. Now, try this sometime. Tree. Nothing happens, right? Car. Nothing happens. But think for a moment. God simply spoke creation into being. Now, that's power. We also see God's power in his providential care for the people of Israel. Remember, God parted the Red Sea, and the people walked across on dry land. Now, that's power. And we also see God's power in the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was in the grave 3 days. And then, suddenly, he was resurrected from the dead. Now, that's power. Listen to the words found in Romans 8:11. I like this. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit, if you're in Christ Jesus, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, my kids laugh at me for using 50s and 60s lingo. But isn't that cool? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Wow. And someday, in the future, at the end of the age, his Spirit will raise your body from the dead also. And that's the power we have as we enter this battle. Now, let me raise this important question to you this morning. Are you dependent upon God's power in the midst of the battle? Are you dependent upon God's power in the midst of the battle? Now, you check your gas in your car by the gas gauge, right? Okay. Yesterday, I looked at my gas gauge and I said, I better fill up, right? Okay. This is how you determine your dependence upon God's power. You look at your prayer life. See, if you're dependent upon God's power in the midst of the battle, you are a person of prayer. Now, that may be from one degree to another. You know, I sometimes hear people say, you know, you got to pray 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. Let's not go down that trail. But if you are dependent upon God's power, you are a person of prayer to one degree. You are spending time with God in prayer. Might be little, might be long, but you're spending time with God in prayer. If you're in Christ Jesus, prayer is important to you. Matthew Henry has written this: you may as soon find a living man without breath as a living saint without prayer. Did you catch that? You may as well find a living man without prayer or without breath as a living saint without prayer. And so as we enter this battle, and it's going to happen tomorrow, I'm sure, there's going to be things you're going to be facing. That alarm will go off. And it's going to be a battle. But you enter that battle with his power. Remember, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Second, winning the battle requires preparation. Preparation. First, dependence. Second, preparation. Now, it's football season. I won't ask for hands, but how many are football fans around here? I did get a little half hour to watch a game yesterday. That was fun for me. But think how a football player prepares for a game. Well, one of the things they do is they put on their uniform, right? They put on their shoulder pads. They put on their stomach pads, their hip pads, their football pants, their jersey, and their helmet, and the list goes on and on. A football player would never come onto the field without full uniform, right? A football player would never say to the coach, Coach, I just didn't have time to get my helmet. No, that would be unacceptable, right? But Paul wants you to know winning the battle requires preparation. Now, this is how we prepare for the battle. We put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Not part of it, but the whole armor of God. This is the only way we can stand against Satan and his trickery. Catch what Paul now tells us in verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, I want you to notice a word in verse 11. It's the word, at least in the ESV, the word schemes. S-C-H-E-M-E-S. In the Greek, it's the word methodia. Sounds like our word method, but this word has the idea of trickery. Satan wants to trick you and me. He will take every opportunity to trick us. And that's why we need to put on the whole armor of God. Now, Paul lists the parts for us. I'll come back to this a little later in verses 14 through 17. Let me just mention them. We're to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace. We're also to use the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and finally, we are to use God's word as the sword in battle. And when we are able to put on the whole armor of God, we can withstand Satan's attacks. The Puritan Edward Reynolds has written, Satan has three titles in Scripture. A dragon to note his malice, a serpent to note his trickery, and a lion to note his strength. Let me go over that again. A dragon to note his malice, a serpent to note his trickery, and a lion to note his strength. But I have good news for you. You can withstand the attack of Satan by putting on the armor of God. Now, remember how the people of Israel prepared for the battle of Jericho? Remember God gave them what would appear to be some really strange instructions? Remember they had to walk around and march around the city walls, you know, every day once. And then on the seventh day, they would do that seven times. And then the walls came tumbling down. Here's the point. They prepared for the battle God's way, not their own way. And since they prepared for the battle God's way, they won the battle. Now that's exactly what Paul wants us to do. He wants us to prepare for battle God's way, rather than our own way. And when this happens, we stand against the enemy. Let's ask God for the grace to prepare for the battle. Third, winning the battle requires knowledge. First, dependence. Second, preparation. And third, knowledge. Now, when I was in college, I was required to take a course in art appreciation. And the final exam was very simple. The professor flashed on the wall with his machine copies of various paintings. And you were to identify the artist. But in order to identify the artist, you have to know something about the artist's style, right? Now, Paul wants you to understand winning the battle requires knowledge. You have to know something about the enemy. You have to identify the enemy. It would be a terrible thing to misidentify the enemy. Notice what Paul again tells us in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now clearly, Paul makes us understand that Satan is the enemy, right? And then in verse 12, we see two characteristics about Satan's power. A, Satan's power is supernatural. Satan's power is supernatural. We do not battle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, cosmic powers, and evil forces. These are all supernatural powers that Satan is leading against us. And then B, Satan's power is organized. It's organized. Again, notice the words rulers, cosmic powers, and evil forces. Satan has organized these things against God's people. But again, I have good news for you. You don't have to fall in the battle. You can stand firm. You simply need to put on the whole armor of God. I remember those wonderful words found in 1 John 4:4. I'm sure some of you haven't memorized. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, I want you to do something for me. But before I tell you what I want you to do, I want to give you a word of warning. It may make you feel just a little uncomfortable. Okay, you ready? This is what I want you to do. Okay? I want you to look at the people on your right, on your left. Yes, turn around and look at the people behind you. Give them a smile. Okay, the people in front of you. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, if you didn't, it's going to ruin my sermon. Please, let's not misidentify the enemy. The enemy is not your brothers and sisters. The enemy is Satan and his evil forces. Can we keep that in mind? Satan will do everything possible to get us to accuse one another. He will do everything possible to get us to think wrongly of our brothers and sisters and divide us. Right? But let's remember, our real enemy is Satan, not our brothers and sisters. The Puritan William Bridges has written this about Satan. He will tell us 100 true things in order to get us to listen to the 101st thing, he says, the lie by which he traps us. Did you catch that? Satan will tell us true things. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. What happened with Adam and Eve? Okay? But he's looking for that one thing to trap us. And so as long as we are grounded in God's word, and remember that he is the enemy, we'll stand on good ground. I have a friend named Ron, who is a retired Christian businessman. And he does something I never heard of before. He shared this with me over lunch several months ago. This is how he wakes up in the morning. Before he puts his foot on the bed, he prays. And this is how he prays. Father, it's going to be a battle. So I now put on the belt of truth. I have your truth, your word. Enable me to be truthful in all my communications. Father, I now put on the breastplate of righteousness. I have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Help me now to be righteous in all that I do. Father, I now put on the shoes of the gospel peace. Let me give the gospel wherever I can today and promote peace. Father, enable me now to take up the shield of faith. Whenever Satan throws those fiery darts at me, let me have my shield up before you. Father, I now put on the helmet of salvation. I receive the gift of salvation. So therefore, help me remember that I belong to you in the midst of the battle. And Father, I take up the shield or the sword of the Spirit, your word. Help me know how to apply your word in every situation I face today. Wow. What an amazing way to start the day. I wish I could do that every day. You might say, well, why can't you? Because I forget. But what an amazing way to start the day. Now, remember in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was tempted 3 times. He was in a spiritual battle. Under the best possible conditions, Adam and Eve fell into sin. Under the worst possible conditions, Jesus succeeded. He stood against Satan. Perhaps this morning you're in a battle. There's all types of battles. There are times as a father, and I enjoy being a father, but there are times in which I was up late night battling in prayer for the soul of one of my children. I bet you've had the same experience. It's a battle. Maybe your battle this morning is finances. Maybe it's health. Whatever it may be, it's a battle. And yet by God's grace, we can win the battle. Now, let's stop here for a second. What does it mean to win the battle? I think it simply means this. No matter what happens, we do life God's way. That doesn't mean everything's going to turn out the way I want it. But no matter what happens, we do life God's way. And in this, God is pleased. Now, perhaps if you were honest, you would confess to yourself, well, Dan, I keep blowing it again and again and again. Let me give a few suggestions to you. But before I give those suggestions, I just want to say, welcome to the club. You see, one of the things we need to do as a church is to be honest with one another. That doesn't mean we tell everything, but we need to be honest that we blow it. And then to give grace to one another as we deal with that. Now, here are 4 suggestions. If you're having trouble winning the battle, here are 4 simple suggestions. 1, make sure you're spending time with Jesus every day. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So we spend time with Him. And the more time we spend with Him, the stronger we become. Suggestion number 2, ask 2 or 3 individuals of the same gender to hold you accountable. Ask 2 or 3 friends of the same gender to hold you accountable. What an amazing thing it is when people hold each other accountable in a loving way. Suggestion number 3, ask your accountability partners to hold you up in prayer. And I have a sense that people do that here. Every time I come here, somebody asks me, and they did that this morning, oh, we've been praying for so-and-so. How's that person doing? I get to go home and tell my wife, they ask about Leo today because we've been praying for that young man and the situation he's going through. And 4, don't place yourself in a place of temptation. Don't place yourself in a place of temptation. We all have weaknesses, and we should make distance in areas where we know we're going to be tempted. Now, years ago, I had a bad habit. You may think this is strange, but I would go to bookstores and I would buy books that I was never going to read. And so I realized I had to do something about that. Okay? So I did 2 things. Either stay away from the bookstores or give my wallet to a friend. But I realized at that time I needed not to place myself near a temptation. Now, today I go to bookstores, I don't have the problem at all, okay? I'm much more, okay, no, I can't afford that. No, I don't really need that. No, I don't have time to read that, okay? Those are the things that we need to do very consciously. If that's an area of weakness, I don't go there. I put distance between me and the area of temptation. Now, when I was a young pastor, I read all these books on church growth. I probably had 20 books on church growth in my library. One day, I picked all my books up on church growth, and I went to the church dumpster and dumped them. Now, this is the reason why I did that. Number one, what was in the books did not work in North Dakota. Simple as that. Number two, the methods actually discredited the Holy Spirit. It was just on your own effort. You can do all these things. And the third thing was, it didn't take into account that we're in a battle. And so these books are teaching you all these methods, and you just do this, this, voila, your church grows. But it really didn't center on the things of God. Now, I can't tell you that the great experience happened when I threw them into the dumpster. But I do know this. I began to realize I'm in a battle. But by God's grace, I can't win the battle for His glory and His honor. We win the battle by our dependence. We win the battle by our preparation, putting on the whole armor of God. And we win the battle by our knowledge. We identify who the real enemy is. Now, as I said before, your alarm's going to go off on Monday morning. And you're going to find yourself in some battles. Are you ready to face the battle? Don't face it without proper dependence. Don't face it without preparation. And don't face it without proper knowledge. But I guarantee you one thing. As you put into practice what we talked about, you're going to see yourself grow from one degree of glory to another. And you're going to see yourself overcoming sin and glorifying Christ Jesus. And that's what we really want, isn't it? We just want to glorify Him. Jesus died on the cross for His people. In response to that, we just want to please Him with our lives and glorify Him. And may the Lord God Almighty help us to do that for His glory and honor. Let's pray. Father, we often feel as if we live in difficult times. And so we come to You in prayer this morning, Father. Give us grace, Lord, to handle the battles of life for Your honor and glory. Give us that wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that You give to Your people. So that we might know in every step we take this week that we can glorify You and serve You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.